We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
So when I touch down, call the amateurs and cut them from the team. Ditch the clowns, get the crown, baby. Hey you, what if I told you we're cool? That child's play back in school is forgiven under my rule. I haven't come around in so long.
Welcome in to a Way Back Wednesday. This goes all the way back to what? The weekend or whatever?
Well, it goes back to Friday morning.
This is new Taylor.
This is the newest
is
of the new.
Re-released Taylor, new Taylor.
This is brand new Taylor. Okay. This is Alchemy. It's donated, dedicated. I guess you could say maybe people read between the lines. That's the Travis Kelce song Travis Kelce song.
Welcome in.
Yeah.
You request the music on a Way Back Wednesday. So way back to Friday on that one for 913-586-7610. The show brought to you by Rainer Garage Doors of Kansas City. LiftMaster has patented MyQ technology, the number one professionally installed garage door opener. You can find them at RainerKC.com. JT Noah in with us today. He's taking your requests at 913-586-7610. Please include your name so you may get the credit.
Yeah, that was from Ozzy. He wanted it.
Ozzy. All right, there you go. Ozzy. Yeah.
So, yes, I didn't know if this was new or this was the apparently – the diss track on Kim Kardashian because apparently that's a thing,
right?
And I was not sure. You've really kept up to date on this.
I've listened to it, obviously, because you know the girls got me into it back when Taylor became a thing here in Kansas City, and so we got the album on Thursday night. It dropped. I was telling the story on Friday. The girls had a album release party that we totally forgot the album was coming out, but it came out 11 o'clock Central Time on that night, and so that's one of the newest tracks from it that I think everybody's gonna be listening to. Very nice. In Kansas City, talking a little bit about Taylor Swift. I think if I'm not mistaken, they ordered the album. I don't know if that showed up. I kind of got out of the mix on that one myself.
I'm in the mix on this one.
You are. Did you get it?
Avoided a major issue yesterday.
Okay.
At the house.
All right. What happened?
Daughter had been waiting for the new Taylor album on vinyl.
On vinyl. Do you guys have a record player?
She got one for Christmas.
She did. Okay.
Yes,
and what kind of record player? Do you buy the Fisher Price? What'd
you
get?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's great.
It is.
So you can play all the old school.
Right.
The old school. I gave her my old Fisher Price.
There you go.
Records, you know.
Yeah.
Of the
it's making a comeback. Anyway, people want the album.
She got
now.
A record. She's been buying some albums. Her and a friend got up at last weekend at like 4 a.m. and went in line to some on record store day or something and did stuff.
Good for them. Yeah. I think record store day was on Saturday.
It was Saturday.
Yeah.
So they're like, oh, we're going to get up tomorrow at 4 and get in line because we want some. Okay, great. And
yep.
I'm like, odds she gets up. Probably not. Great.
Did she get
they
up?
Were up? They
oh
were
my
up and
God.
Gone.
Well, when they want something, they're going to get up.
I was, tracking her, make sure she got there and she checked in. Yeah, we're in line. We're not the only ones here. Why are people here this early? I'm like, you're here this early. I don't know.
What did you expect?
What the deal was. But daughter been waiting for the new Taylor album, pre-ordered early.
Oh God,
and everything.
Yes,
I've been tracking the package with the vinyl edition.
Okay, yes.
For some reason, it was late. She was mad. It was stuck in Tennessee as to why. Then it gets just delivered to the front porch when no one was home.
Okay, well, that's typical.
Right?
Yeah.
And it's not hidden, just...
It's right there.
Right there. Mm-hmm. Box totally looks like an album.
Mm-hmm.
It says right on the thing, like Taylor Swift official store.
Oh, come on, you can't do that.
Right?
Yeah.
super stealable, like right. super stealable.
And I mean, when they send the Viagra, they put it in that discreet packaging. The commercial right. says it all the time, right?
Not since in my house when I ordered NBA Jam and they delivered the box to the porch with no, there was no like a brown cardboard.
Are you talking about the big unit?
Yeah.
Okay. Like the actual big video game.
So when that came out or whatever, a few years ago, I ordered it, got it, and they just slammed it right in front of the porch. Like there might have been an arrow saying, just steal, go ahead and steal it. This is what it is. So not since then have I been so nervous to avoid the porch pirate.
Right.
Because it was like right smack dab. Like, it looks like an album. You know, I got the text. Could you check? It looks like it's been delivered. You know,
mm-hmm. sure.
the ring.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Saw that it arrived. Can you make sure you bring it in the house? Yes, sure. And I'm like, well, that one was, they didn't even like try to like stick it behind a post or anything.
Nothing.
Just to hide
or
it.
Or open like the storm door and stick it in or like something like that.
Anybody
right.
would have been like, well, that's Taylor's new album. Like, right. How many new albums are out? I mean, there's probably a few, but. I felt like that one was a little bit should have put it in the four hymns package.
Yeah, well that's on Taylor though. I mean you've got to package these things discreetly,
she's,
right?
She's fallible.
Yeah,
we found that out.
Yes,
apparently,
she is.
So.
Yeah, so
but crisis averted. I saved the package. I got it in the door.
Mm-hmm.
I felt like one thing off my plate today.
Hey, look, if that would have been stolen, that would have been a big deal, right? Because,
oh, yeah.
I mean, they've been ordering these things since they announced the album was coming out
and
right
tracking,
around the Super Bowl time, right? And tracking it.
I know over the weekend there was a lot of, why isn't it here yet?
Of course, yes.
And why is this thing stuck somewhere in Tennessee or Kentucky or something? I'm like,
right.
I don't know.
Yeah, no, that's exactly what happens. They start tracking these packages. My daughter's been tracking something that she ordered. I don't even know what it was anymore. And she finally goes, I got my refund from Amazon finally. It hasn't come. I've been tracking this package. I'm like, yeah, because that's going to do some good by you sitting there looking at where the hell it is. But we all do that.
You're
I mean, it's one of the
order.
Things, you know, that we all like to do. So yeah, I think you got to package those things discreetly and not let everybody know it's the Taylor Swift album, because everybody wants the Taylor Swift album right
I would
now,
think.
Right?
I would think that one you'd, I mean, I don't know, add some extra shapes on it or something, put it in a bigger box.
Bigger box or
something so it doesn't look like.
And then it comes in a big box with a lot of packaging. You're like, why'd you waste all this packaging on this album?
So,
you're screwed either way.
She does it because she's a smart business person and
yep.
that costs more money.
Yes, it does.
You take the entire profit by just.
Yes.
It's an album.
Right.
Your problem, pluck it off the porch.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, they expect people are home all day waiting for this stuff. Yeah. I mean, some people are if they're not traveling the world.
Normally it's, you know, like shampoo or
something. Right, right. If they steal your olive oil, who the hell cares, right?
Exactly. Oh, there's some foot powder. I don't know, whatever. Nothing worth ripping off.
No.
And this one, I was like, okay, I got to go get it now.
Right. Got to get it.
Can't just leave
it
sit
there. Get it, get it. Dad, what are you doing? Yeah. I'm in the middle of surgery, but my Taylor Swift album is there. All right, I'm done. Yeah. Stop cutting on me. I'm going to get the album.
I just saw you go on the porch to get it. Yeah.
You got that message too?
It's on the steps. Oh, it's on the steps.
Where did you put it? Did you put it inside? Will I be able to find it? Yes. Do you know where it is? Do you remember where you put it? Which is a logical question for us.
I stored it upright in a cool place because I figured, no.
Yeah, right.
I figured that's exactly how you should take care of your album.
Did you put a big spotlight on it?
No, because I didn't want to heat the vinyl.
Oh.
I wanted to have it in its pristine condition for proper playing.
Yes, right. You got to, if they're going to even play the album at that point in time. I do like this text coming in early from the 816 on the Jay Southland Tow Service text line today. Isn't it funny? Years ago, we used to play that Taylor Swift parody song, "We're Never Going to Win" with Andy.
I know.
And now Andy's
Full
winning
circle.
And is here long term. And Taylor Swift is such a part of KC. Life is a circle. Yeah, there's no question about it. We used to play that "We're Never Going to Win" with Andy song that was made in Philadelphia. I don't know, 14 years ago or however long ago that was made. And it held true for a while. It was a funny song. It was a great parody song.
Ruined the song forever.
And it really did, because every time I hear that song now,
if
I just
keep
thinking.
It's not the Andy version.
Yeah,
I don't know what it is.
You get mad. Yeah. You get mad. So anyway, somebody else is waiting for their Taylor Swift album from the 816. It was supposed to be delivered Monday. FedEx delayed it to Tuesday. They said they couldn't find my house. Well, that's why you have the address, Federal Express. Look on there and match it. It's right. It's pretty simple to do.
They probably had a whole truck load of those
albums.
They're like, I can't find this house. I'm moving on.
FedEx told me I needed to contact the shipper. I said, I don't have Taylor Swift's number. Hey, Taylor, your album hasn't arrived yet.
Yeah,
can
what,
we do
what
something
gives?
About this?
"Hi, I live in Kansas City, and Taylor, my album's not here."
Yeah.
Might work, actually.
It may, actually, yeah. I wonder if more albums and vinyl were sold per capita in Kansas City than in any other city and any other region of the United States, right? I'd love to know if we could get, like, we get these breakdowns from, like, the gambling folks of, like, what states are rooting for what team in the postseason. We got one yesterday. Kansas is rooting for the Oklahoma City Thunder in the NBA Finals and the Colorado Avalanche. Missouri, for whatever reason, is rooting for the New York Rangers in hockey. And I can't remember what basketball team they said the state of Missouri was rooting for in the NBA Finals. But if we got those kind of breakdowns, why aren't we getting the breakdowns of which states and which regions per capita are ordering the most Taylor Swift albums? I'd love to know that. Speaking of per capita, this is a total random fact that I heard over the weekend. Do you know that more Kansans per capita fought in the Civil War than any other state?
I did not.
I did not know that either. Isn't that a wild fact? So knowing that leads me to today saying we probably have more Taylor Swift albums ordered per capita than any other city in the United States today. JT, look that up. Find it out.
I would think based on, you know, we were the most to watch the World Lacrosse Final.
Something like that.
Like, we're also in the mix for most orders per zip code. We're in this general vicinity.
Correct.
So,
yes.
Probably so. So, yep. So best of luck. Check your porch, get it off the porch quick.
Mm-hmm.
That's my advice to all the parents out there.
That's right.
Stalking delivery trucks.
Yes. Where's my Taylor Swift album?
Yeah. Meanwhile, some hair ties will be arriving shortly.
Right.
As
exactly.
Well.
Yes.
Just to get that shipping over $25.
Yeah.
Yeah. Whatever.
I spent an extra $35 to get a free $7 shipping.
It'll be here tonight.
Yeah. Free shipping.
to make it arrive earlier. Yeah.
Spend an extra $35 and you can get free shipping. How much is the shipping? $7.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Why not?
Sure.
This one is still out there and I still wouldn't hate it, but the Brandon Ayuk rumors continue.
Mm-hmm.
That a new deal ain't done. He might or might not be on the trade block. And it seems there's smoke and it's continuing to kind of be out there. And I wouldn't hate it. The door is left open, according to Mike Silver of the San Francisco Chronicle, and that a deal can't be ruled out for a trade involving Brandon Ayuk. Probably on draft night at this point.
Yeah, probably. Which is tomorrow.
Per Silver, the 49ers have asked for a first-round pick.
Okay.
And, of course, they'd have to be willing to give him a contract.
And there is where the problem lies, because I think it's a double-edged question, if you will, right? Do you want Brandon Ayuk, Josh? Yeah, I'd love to have Brandon Ayuk. Would you be willing to give up draft picks for Brandon Ayuk? Yeah, I'd be willing to give up draft picks. Do you think the Chiefs are going to give him $25 million a year and make him the second highest paid wide receiver in the NFL because that's what he wants?
No.
I don't think that they're going to do something like that, right?
I wouldn't hate if they did.
No, I wouldn't either.
This is a second contract guy who's earned it.
Right.
And feels like a pretty much you know what his baseball card is, and it's pretty good.
Yeah, it's a really good baseball card, right? It's a nice wide receiver. It would make this team so much better. But I think, again, as we've talked about throughout
and they don't have to be beholden to, we never do this.
Right, exactly.
They weren't doing it in that situation, and they weren't doing it for somebody that is getting even older.
Right.
Right?
Right, sure.
So it's a little further down the track as well.
Right. You're talking about Tyreek Hill as well. Yeah.
So that was a little further down the track as well. So you can't say, we'll never do this. They haven't said, we'll never do this. They just give you the indication of, it's going to be tough for them to make a decision like this. But something like this, I'd give a shot to.
Yeah.
Because I don't think it's a risk.
That's why I think it's two totally different conversations. Would you do it? Yeah. Do you think the Chiefs will do it? No, I don't, right? Again, it goes back to the wide receiver. Our want for a wide receiver is greater than what they believe their need is for a wide receiver. And we'll talk a little Kadarius Toney a little bit later on, I think in the hour or so, about, you know, what the situation is involving him right now. But I just think we're at a point where I think we have to just accept that the Chiefs, from what we have seen so far, they're not interested in spending that kind of money. They could have spent that kind of money on free agent wide receivers over the last couple of years. They have chosen, obviously, not to go that route. I think they want to find that young guy in the draft. This may be the year that they go ahead and do that and find that young wide receiver in the draft where they can save some bucks on not paying somebody $25 million a year, because that is a lot, but that is the going rate now for a great wide receiver. So unless you are 100% confident that Patrick Mahomes is going to make everybody else better, which he has done over the last couple of years, it's hard to argue, you're probably not going to go out and get that weapon. Now, if you're a team like, let's say, the Giants, and you have Daniel Jones, and you're not going to draft a quarterback to replace Daniel Jones, then you go out there and you go get those weapons like a Brandon Ayuk, and you go above and beyond in the weapons department to try to make that quarterback better, which is exactly what the Chiefs did when Patrick Mahomes became the starter. Their first move was to go out and get Sammy Watkins because they didn't know how good Patrick Mahomes was going to be, so they wanted to get a veteran wide receiver. Fast forward 6 years, 4 Super Bowls, 3 championships later, I think the quarterback is pretty good. They're saying, we don't need to spend this money on the wide receiver position. Let's focus it on the defense, or let's focus it somewhere else because we've got a quarterback that is going to make everybody else better. And so I think if Patrick Mahomes is wanting for a wide receiver, our want for a wide receiver, we're kind of a victim of our own success because the organization is like, you're really good. We're not going to spend that kind of money on a wide receiver because you can make a average wide receiver a good wide receiver. And I think Patrick Mahomes has hurt himself in that department. But I need a wide receiver.
But I don't think you have to hold steadfast to that and be like, we never will do this.
Right.
And I don't think they will. Brandon Ayuk would be a second contract. Yeah. Tyreek Hill was a third contract.
You know what right. I mean? Like, exactly.
Those are different situations. And then also the San Francisco factor.
Right.
Do I really, in my heart of hearts, think San Francisco wants to deal with
probably
the Chiefs?
Probably not.
I would say
no.
Probably not.
But if Brandon Ayuk says, I only want to go to Kansas City and I'm not signing this contract, then that's something that you have to consider, right?
Sources have said.
Any good wide receiver only wants to play in Kansas City.
Sources have said he's only interested in this.
And today's an interesting day, actually, because today in 2004 was the day that Eli Manning was drafted number one overall by San Diego and then immediately traded to the Giants for Phillip Rivers, and he went to the Chargers, and we know how that worked. Maybe there's a draft day trade where Marvin Harrison Jr. says, you know what? I'm just not playing for anybody other than Kansas City. You can draft me, and then maybe the Chiefs work out a draft day trade to get Marvin Harrison Jr. Like the Cardinals have some offers there at number 4. They get some good offers, but ultimately at the end, the Chiefs say, you draft Marvin Harrison Jr., and we'll swing a trade with you for that player, and we'll draft who you want at number 32, and we'll make that pick swap, and then we'll give you some more picks throughout the draft.
That'd
maybe that's something you can get
That'd
to as well.
Change hats
yeah.
in the middle of the night. One thing we probably all hate about sports has happened again. We'll get to it next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
You pick the music on the way back Wednesday. That's how it works at 913-586-7610. Include your name so that you get some credit, some reward, some love.
Terry, all the way from Green Bay, Golden Country by REO Speed.
Wagon.
And
if you can stop JT, even better.
Yeah, even better.
Love
right?
you, JT.
I'm glad you didn't say Rio Speed. That would have been really good.
But sometimes
you were tempted. Yeah.
Sometimes the texts don't finish and they roll over to it. It becomes very difficult for some reason. Our text characters, even though you're typing it in, I think in your phone, for some reason it'll roll over into like multiple texts to us.
Oh God, yes. Yeah.
Which is kind of weird because it doesn't appear that way when you start typing.
But Terry's did not. It said Golden Country REO Speed Wagon.
Oh, okay.
Terry Speed and Green Bay. Yeah.
Wagon.
Speed
yeah,
Wagon. Know. Yes. That's REO Speed to you and me.
That's right.
Hey, listen, I got 4 hours of sleep last night working the Royals here.
So
the brain's moving slow this
morning. A little bit slow today.
Yeah. I thought I did see you in the handshake line last night. So that was cool.
Congratulations. Yeah.
You're right behind Vinny.
Yeah. I thought
I saw you there, JT.
Way to go, JT.
Good. That's good. That's funny, though. So, you pick the music and text in to 913-586-7610. You and I have been on the record. We don't like this about sports. It happens far too frequently.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's good for everyone to take a step back every once in a while and go, I'm going to try not to do this.
Right.
I'm going to try not to do this. It's not healthy for any of us.
Mm-mm.
It's sometimes an unfortunate side effect of being a sports fan. But I do think the recommendation I would have for you is take a breath and don't go there.
Right.
But it's happened again. The Philadelphia 76ers.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to file a complaint.
That's right.
About officials in the first two games of their series.
Mm-hmm. They don't like it.
We haven't liked the officiating. We'd like to put it on record.
Right.
I'm sure there's plenty of people in Philly blaming the refs for a loss. I hate when you blame the refs for a loss.
Mm-hmm.
We all do it. It happens. You gotta try to stop doing it. It doesn't help anything.
No, it really doesn't. And it's also the low-hanging fruit of sports as well. I mean, I hear the ref complaints, and I was bouncing around the Odyssey app yesterday kind of listening to, you know, what's going on, and I ended up on Philadelphia, WIP, our sister station, and then I listened to see what WFAN in New York were saying about the same topic. And, you know, the Philadelphia fans were complaining about the referees and the officiating in the first two games of the series. Sidebar, the Knicks winning is better for business, so just to let you know, they tend to do things in these leagues that are better for business. I'm not saying the officiating did anything, wrong from that standpoint. But when you have a lead and you give up like 8 points in 30 seconds, that's not on the officials. That's on you. When you get out rebounded late in the game or in the second half and Joel Embiid refuses to play defense down low and hangs out at the perimeter, that's not on the officiating. And it's one of those things that I just loathe.
Or that your star is peanut brittle.
Yeah. Well, and that too, that he can't, rely on this guy for an extended period of time. But, you know, we've been talking about this going back to the days of, you know, people complaining about officials at KU and whatnot, and even KU fans complaining about officials for why they lose games. There are so many other ways, in my opinion, that you win or lose a game.
I think they've got it back tenfold.
Right?
They should never be complaining.
They should
officials.
Never be complaining. But they do. Yeah, everybody, yeah. Every fan base does. But it's the low-hanging fruit of sports. And when I hear like sports talk radio hosts in other cities or places go, well, they lost because of the officials, I'm like, you're really not doing your job. They didn't lose because of the officials. They lost for other reasons. Did the officials maybe make a bad call or two? Yeah, the officials make bad calls in every single game that is played, whether it's a high profile game or a random baseball game on a Tuesday night. You're going to see mistakes that are made. It's the human element that everybody loves. Can't have replay. Got to have that human element. So you have the human element. Officials make mistakes. It happens. But that's never the reason why you lose a game. You can always go back and look. Okay, you got out-rebounded by 20. That's a problem right there. Grab some rebounds. That's effort. That's hustle. That's desire. Play like you care, as we famously once said on this show. And so every time an ump or a ref or somebody makes a bad call, we want to blame the outcome of the game or the series on them. We all do it. Teams do it. Fans do it. Everybody's guilty of doing it. But you can't do it because a lot of times you're not able to recover. Ask the 85 St. Louis Cardinals, who are still complaining about Don Denkinger, even though they had game 7 to play the following day and never went out there and played game 7. They allowed that call to bother them after game 6, and they ended up getting their ass kicked in game 7, and the Royals ended up winning the world championship. You've got to be able to let these calls go if you don't like them, especially in a series, because now I think it's going to be tough for Philly to recover. You're out here blaming the officials. You're not focusing your energy on what really needs to happen, and that's your star needs to play better. You can't give up 8 points with 27 seconds to go in a game. Like, play defense, grab rebounds, do those things that are within your control. The officials are not within your control, and you can't let them have that kind of impact on a game.
Did the Sixers ask for the manager? Someone from the text line. Yeah. No, because that is beyond your control. Yes. You can ask for the manager if you know you're not back there making the food. I think
right.
You can ask for the manager.
You can ask for the manager all you want.
But yes, they have officially filed a complaint.
I guess with the NBA.
Good luck,
like that,
good luck with that.
Good luck recovering from that too, because you sent the message to your team that it's not about you guys. You guys are playing fine. It's the ref's fault.
Yeah.
Oh, it's the ref's fault. Well, in that case, I'm going to still go out there and stand around the 3-point arc instead of getting down in the blocks and trying to grab a rebound, Joel Embiid.
Speaking of ref's faults, stat people are out on Hunter Wendell stat.
That's right.
After he threw Aaron Boone out of a game for a fan behind him yelling.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's on.
It's on, right? Yeah. Harvey Wendell stat is going to be really, really ridiculed for everything that he does now moving forward.
So Hilario Wendell stat apparently has a 68% called strike accuracy.
Yeah, that's not good.
You throw it anywhere near the lawn chair.
Yeah. Yeah, he's calling it a strike or maybe not calling it a strike. So what you're telling me is he's only getting 2 out of every 3 calls correct. I mean, that's bad at the major league level. You've got to be better than that. 68% of the strikes that were thrown in the game were called correctly when he was busy dealing with the fan that yelled at Aaron Boone the other day. And so I think that's where the problem lies, that you can rectify that problem. I'm not blaming you know Hank Wendelstadt for maybe why the Yankees would have lost a game or whatever. What I am saying, though, is that's a glaring number right there that Major League Baseball can clearly rectify with the automatic strike zone and taking that out of the hands of the umpire. We don't want referees to have an impact on the game, right? We don't like when umpires have an impact on the game. Well, here's a way to take them out of it and take that human element out of the game. But the flip side is people want the human element inside the game. So if you want the human element, then we have to deal with Hank Wendell's stat being at 68% correct of calling balls and strikes. But if we take that out and get rid of that human element, then we will get these calls correct. And I think that's ultimately what we want as sports fans. We don't want to talk about the umpires and referees. We want them to get the calls right. And if we have technology in place to get these calls right at every level, why aren't we doing it? What are we waiting for?
He had a super wide strike zone in that particular game.
Yeah.
So he had 15 of 47 called strikes were true balls. So they're saying outside the square. So ring them up. Uncle Barry Wendelstadt had a dinner to get to.
Exactly. So, yes.
It's just consistency. That's all. That's all you can ask for. Like, there's going to be missed calls and whatever, but it's the inconsistency that does become, you know, terrifically frustrating.
Right.
Speaking of, it's kind of hit rate. We think of hit rate in baseball.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
But there's a hit rate involving the draft we need to get to next.
I want to show all of my
You pick the music on Way Back Wednesday, 913-586-7610. Include your name so that you may be given credit.
Yeah, we got from Ty in Cleveland, Good Morning by Chamillionaire.
There you go. Brought to you by Rainer Garage Doors of Kansas City. LiftMaster has patented MyQ technology, the number one professionally installed garage door opener. Find them at RainerKC.com. This comes from ESPN, one of their stat guys. We mentioned him over the years. Paul Hembo does a lot of content, but does statistics and kind of looks up stuff for them when they're in a bind. I think that's kind of his job. He's probably got a unique job there when he does his stuff. But Adam Schefter tweeted out, credited him with a chart of hit or miss rates in the first round of the NFL draft. He spanned back 20 drafts and looked at whether or not a player signed a second contract with the team, which would be a portion of an indication about what a team thought of someone.
Correct. Yes.
We thought enough of you to bring you back.
Right.
Or could afford you. But I mean, there are times where someone runs to the end of their contract. They decided it's going to be too expensive. We should replace you after 5 years.
Right. And a lot of times teams do that. I mean, we see it here constantly.
It's not necessarily a boom or bust. Right?
Right.
Good players do walk out the door. Right?
We've seen it happens that. A lot. Look, we've Willie Gay here. Walked out the door, right? Not a first-round draft pick, but he walked out the door. That's a good player. You'd like to have him back.
Legarius Sneed. Right.
Not a first-round player, but you know.
Yeah, so this is just looking at first-round.
Right.
First-rounders and who was retained on a second contract.
Correct.
The number one hit rate was the center position.
Mm-hmm. I'm not surprised offensive line is up there on the hit rate because most offensive linemen get into this league, you establish yourself in a system, and you want to retain those guys. You like that continuity along the offensive line, right?
So it was a low number. Only 12 centers have been drafted in the first round in the last 20 years, okay? But 11 of the 12 were signed to a second contract.
Which is pretty good. I mean, that's pretty good. That's a pretty good rate.
So 92% hit rate, according to this. Next position was offensive tackle.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, a lot of offensive tackles are drafted, right?
Yeah, 64.
They're down to 59%.
That's second. That's the second biggest number.
Guard?
Yeah.
50%.
Yep. 28 guards drafted, 14 re-signed, 14 let go.
So offensive linemen, the only ones over 50% retention rate after
their
first years.
Yeah, after their rookie contract are offensive linemen. That's it.
That's it.
In the entire league.
And everybody
at all
else.
Positions.
Everybody else.
Sorry.
Thank you, 816. Yep, got it. Below 50%. Below, not good.
Right.
So, linebacker, 48%. Quarterback, 46%.
Right. 56 first-round quarterbacks drafted in the last 20 years, and only 26 have seen a second contract.
Of the positions drafted, I would have priority myself, if I were doing it, of... Yeah, we're drafting a 10-12-year quarterback, right?
Right.
I mean, that's our intent here. Mm-hmm. We're not playing four and out.
Whatever. Doesn't appear that way.
46% aren't worthy of a second contract.
Right. No, 46% got a second contract.
Yeah.
54%
aren't worthy.
Yeah.
26.
And how many of those are like a Daniel Jones type of guy where you're like stuck between a rock and a hard place and you just sign the guy? You don't think he's the guy, but he's the guy right now? Yeah.
And then it just keeps going down from there. The worst two positions, tight end,
right,
and wide receiver.
Wide receiver is the worst position. Yeah.
Now, do those tend to get pricier if they hit?
Yeah, absolutely they do. Right.
You can probably make that case as well. But tight end, wide receiver, the hardest to get, you know, 5 year plus guys.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah. 27% hit rate because there were 77 wide receivers drafted in the first round in the last 20 years. And I think what Binkley's been saying, there could be 20 first round wide receivers drafted this year, right?
Mm-hmm.
So 77 of the first round wide receivers drafted over that 20 year span, 21 of them saw a second contract with their team. That's a remarkably low number. And so when we're talking about wide receivers and tight ends and those pass catchers in this year's draft, look at that number and realize, wow, there's a lot of busts in that mix for wide receiver. Now, that shouldn't scare you off per se, but it should make you a little bit cautious that you're like, wow, wide receivers, 27% of the first round picks get a second contract with their team. Maybe there's a better route to go get a wide receiver. Maybe it is that proven wide receiver. Maybe we do spend a little bit more for Brandon Ayuk instead of trying to draft a guy because the odds are very low that this guy's going to be a long-term player here in Kansas City or anywhere for that matter.
Oh, look, another top 20 list. How unique. Something that's never been done in sports radio before.
Mahomes looks that way. He's going to go wide open, left side, caught. Kelce, caught around.
Here is the top 20 draft picks in Kansas City sports history. Presented by Fesco in the Morning, who realize that you think their list sucks.
Over to first in time. Runner going to try to score. Wild throw. Hosmer gambling that he could dash home.
Bob has unveiled the scroll yet again.
Yes, sir.
And we are on the
cusp. Inside the top 10 today, Josh. Inside the top 10.
Top 20 list of all-time KC hit draft picks.
Yeah, we've got 12, 11, 10, and 9 today. Our previous lists have been released. You can check them out on the Odyssey app. Download the podcast. But coming in at number 12 on the best draft picks in Kansas City sports history, Tyreek Hill coming in at number 12.
He's gonna be so pissed.
As much very disrespected, I guess he would think on this list. I mean, he's right now the franchise's best wide receiver of all time. I mean, as an off the field guy, I'm not interested in anything that Tyreek Hill has going on. But as a football player, he was amazing. As a fifth round draft pick or whatever he was, they converted him from a running back to a wide receiver. They made him one of the game's most dynamic players here in Kansas City. He hasn't won anything since he's left. The Chiefs have won the Super Bowl every year since he's been gone. How vital a cog was he? Not real, but still, number 12 is where he comes in on that list.
Yes, very, very fine draft pick. And again, he took a shot on somebody, and it panned out big time.
Right.
Big time.
It did.
Now he thinks he could burn Deion Sanders.
Right. The Deion Sanders stuff, he says he could, you know, beat Deion Sanders, and Deion's like, no.
Yeah, no chance.
So, Deion says, you're a moment, I'm a monument.
Tyreek's latest squawky. He's probably mad that we gave 10 to somebody else. And
He's
stuck at 12.
Oh, 10. Oh, I thought you meant the number 10. He's mad.
He's 12 on our list, so now we're in his crosshair. So that's number 12.
Yeah, so he's mad at the Chiefs now because they gave Isaiah Pacheco 10, and it's disrespect. Isaiah Pacheco has won twice as many Super Bowls as that number 10 that Tyreek Hill did, by the way.
Wow.
Screw you, Hill. Coming in at number 11, Tony Gonzalez coming in at number 11 on our list of all-time Kansas City draft picks. TG revolutionized the tight end position. Who knew that Travis Kelce would revolutionize it even more? But at the time, Tony Gonzalez could have been considered one of the best draft picks in Chiefs history.
How did we have him only 11?
Right.
It's Tony Gonzalez, for goodness sakes.
Well, he was a Falcon there for a good majority of time, right?
Is there some biases to his late in the game stuff, but never won something, I think
won a playoff game.
I think I probably in my portion of the voting, it was a little more consideration to a title.
Right.
Would have probably put him over the hump because, it was one of my all-time favorite players. And there wasn't a lot of things going at times sometimes for the Chiefs during that particular era.
No doubt.
Tony Gonzalez at number 11.
Number 11. Coming in at number 10. And I'm glad we're bringing him up on this day as well. Coming in at number 10 is Zach Greinke, Royals pitcher, because on this day, Josh, in 2009, Zach Greinke pitched a second straight complete game. He struck out 10 in a 6-1 win over Detroit. The Tigers' lone run in the fifth is unearned. It ends Greinke's streak of 38 consecutive scoreless innings dating back to last season. But nonetheless, at this point in 2009, he was 4-0 with a 0 ERA. So Zach Greinke coming in at number 10, great on the field, but even more important, telling the Royals that, hey, you guys suck. I don't want to be here anymore. Trade me. And they said, okay, we'll take Lorenzo Cain, Alcides Escobar et al. And be able to kind of set up our team to go out there and win a championship. So Zach Greinke could go down as one of the more important Royals players of all time.
Played his most time in Kansas City. I wish he'd had his most success in Kansas City,
Which
made it a little bit difficult.
Sure.
But did get that Cy Young season, which was still unbelievable. But actually, the highest ERA of any of his stops was here.
Was in Kansas City. I'm not surprised. The beginning of his career and the end of his career,
the end of his career as well.
Beginning of the career, you're trying to figure it out. The end of the career, you're washed, and people are knocking the ball all over the yard on you. So, I'm not surprised.
21 strikeouts shy of 3,000.
That's amazing, right? You'd think he'd like to come back and try to get that. Yeah. Could you imagine being so close to something and not being able to get it, though? Like, that's one, like, somebody's got to throw me a life preserver here and let me get 21 strikeouts,
Party would be going, how do I get 21 strikeouts?
Or Zach Greinke goes, I didn't even know that I'm 21 strikeouts shy of 3,000, which is very possible as well. And coming in at number 9 today, Paul Splittorff. We called him Split. A lot of folks know him as the Royals announcer. Him and Bob Davis were spectacular together on TV for all of those years. But Paul Splittorff was like a 20-some round draft pick and is the best pitcher in Royals franchise history. And there's really no debating how good Paul Splittorff was for the Kansas City Royals.
Most wins.
Yeah.
166 on the mound for the Royals.
Mm-hmm.
ERA under 4. And played all 15 seasons in Kansas City.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Pitched them all in Kansas City. Those are the days where you could do that, too.
Yeah. Yeah. You
could just missed out on 85.
Just missed out. 84 was his last year.
Doggone it. But was there for the late 70s runs and obviously the World Series in 1980.
Right. So Paul Splittorff comes in at number 9. So Tyreek Hill at 12, Tony Gonzalez at 11, Zach Greinke at 10, and the great Paul Splitorff coming in at number 9. Tomorrow we'll reveal four more. Can you tell me which four we're going to reveal tomorrow?
No, I probably can't. I can't.
8, 7, 6, and 5 will be revealed tomorrow.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 of his 15 seasons over 200 innings.
That's amazing. Paul Splitorff was so good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A would you rather involving the Chiefs and Royals we'll get to next. Hope to see you on Thursday at the Landing in Liberty. It's the 610 Sports Radio draft party for the opening round. Come watch with all of us. The 610 staff will be on hand. Character Concerns will be broadcasting live. And we'll take in the first round together. Brought to you by Hy-Vee, the proud official grocery sponsor of the Kansas City Chiefs. You can fill out your draft pick sheet as well. It's available at 610sports.com, or you can get it the night of the event. Fill out the picks. I think the Bears are going to take Caleb Williams. I think the Chiefs are going to trade up to 4 to get Marvin Harrison Jr. You know, whatever. The best picker is going to win $610 plus autographed Chiefs merchandise to give away. Come hang out with us at the Landing in Liberty on Thursday night. You pick the music on the way back Wednesday at 913-586-7610. Include your name so that you get the credit.
Yeah, Adam wanted a little Dream On by Aerosmith.
There you go.
And yes, I do know that song before I even.
You did? Okay, yeah, okay. Good. Yes. Okay. Great.
Okay, just checking. Also, your roadside furniture, always welcome. From the 815 mattress on the 435 interchange off 95th Street. There's a mattress 71 southbound before the 87th Street exit from the 816.
And I understand now why people throw their mattresses on the side of the road, because we called on Friday to Waste Management to say we had a big item pickup. We get one per year, I guess, now in Overland Park, right? And so my wife called, I guess it was Thursday night, called, you know, Waste Management, scheduled the pickup for Friday. They said, yes, you need to get your mattresses in plastic bags and put them out, and we will be there Friday. You know when they finally picked up those mattresses?
Tuesday.
Wow. They picked up those mattresses. So because the incompetence at Waste Management, I understand why people throw their mattresses on the side of the road, and I totally support it right now, because if you're going to say Friday, be there.
You should have texted in the show. We'd have got rid of it for you sooner. from the 816, tell your traffic guy, it's the two left lanes that are closed on 435. I got in the left lane because of his report.
Well, I wouldn't listen to the traffic guy, quite honestly.
So, if it's not DelGiorno,
it ain't traffic.
It ain't traffic,
right.
I think.
You got to have DelGiorno, or it's not traffic, right?
I can't guarantee the accuracy.
No, so. You can't do that at all. So anyway, here we sit, right?
Yeah, I guess.
Did you do the Liberty read yet? Did you do that yet?
No. Okay. JT, can you turn my computer back on, please?
Yeah, turn mine on as well, please.
I would try Burlington Street.
There it is.
Thank you. That's all. Mm-hmm. I just want to make sure DelGiorno checked in with Burlington Street.
That's right.
So don't worry about those left lanes of anything.
No.
Just get to Burlington
Street. Just go wherever you want.
Usually what he says.
I would try Burlington Street.
Yeah, we're
correct, aware. Yes.
We're aware. He's big on Burlington Street. All right, so you have a little would you rather.
Yeah, I do. I would. I was thinking about this yesterday, right? Like, it's obviously a hypothetical, and we love the hypothetical game, right? It's fun. Everybody's got an opinion. Everybody can play along. Everybody can tell us we're stupid, too. I like that. But here's the hypothetical that I have for you. Would you rather have long-term in KC, the Chiefs sign Trent McDuffie long-term, or the Royals sign Cole Reagans to a long-term deal? And my opinion on this is I think Cole Reagans is more important to a successful future for the Royals than McDuffie is for the Chiefs. That's not taking anything away from Trent McDuffie at all. I look at Reagans and I look at McDuffie as two of the next stars that are probably going to demand a pretty big contract, right? Whether it's here in Kansas City or whether it's somewhere else. I do believe both of them will at some point in time get re-signed by Kansas City, because John Sherman has shown if you play well, we'll pay you, right? Look what they did with Bobby Witt. They took care of him. The Chiefs, I know, are in love with Trent McDuffie, both on the field and off the field. I also think that these two guys are the two most important players that the teams need to lock up long term. But if it was only one or the other, to me, it's Cole Reagans, because we're seeing right now, right in front of our eyes, how important starting pitching really is to baseball. And now we've got a couple of legit starters that are young guys on the team, younger guys on the team, that I think it's time to lock up. I think it's time to lock up Brady Singer. I think it's time to lock up Cole Reagans and then set the rest of the rotation going forward behind those guys. So if it was only one or the other, again, in a hypothetical game, I think I'm taking Cole Reagans over Trent McDuffie because I know the importance of the success of that position. Chiefs have some stars all over the place.
Now, the interesting part to me is I would rather pay Trent McDuffie long term because I know what he is.
Yeah. He's a stud.
Like,
yeah.
I have no issue with, yeah, lock him up for five, whatever. Right. He's gonna play. He's going to be great.
Mm-hmm.
Do I know for sure Cole Reagans is?
I think we've got a good enough
not really
timetable.
It's baseball. I don't.
Mm-hmm.
I don't. It's a guy that had a bunch of injuries, you know. Do I have a complete body of work on him? To me, probably not.
When are you going to get a complete body of work on Cole Reagans?
I don't know. Maybe it's an entire season.
Well, I mean, essentially from where he was last year with the Royals through now, I mean, you're almost to a full entire season.
But that's not an entire season. That's two half seasons.
Two half seasons. Okay. So you need him to go the whole year? Like if you get to the All-Star break and he's still dealing?
Then I know he's your, yeah. He's a long-termer for your franchise. I just think baseball's tough, you know? I think you see pitchers that you're like, oh, yeah, that's there. And then I'm like, well, they found this guy in a weird way, and he was coming off an injury. Did you take a flyer and it worked? And is it lightning in a bottle, or is it something that's sustainable long term? I don't know. Pitching, to me, makes it a little more difficult. But do I think
baseball
is
also tougher because once you sign the guy, you're locked in for however long it is. Yeah. It's all guaranteed money, so you have to make sure it is right. Football, you know, you can bounce from these guys.
I can get away from those things. But who is more important for the future? I think you're absolutely right. It's Cole Reagans.
Right. I think so, too.
Like you,
and that's nothing against McDuffie at all.
You need starting pitching to be viable in Major League Baseball, right? So if you have one of those spots that's on lock, that's my guy every fifth day, he's going to anchor this. I mean, the dividends are gigantic.
Yeah, there's nothing more important, you know,
versus
than a
nice piece to a good defense.
Right, and that's exactly what Trent McDuffie
right? It's not a knock. It's pitching to me would outweigh a corner.
Right. I mean, we've talked about it for years in baseball. You look at the top of the rotation. You go back to the old Atlanta Braves days with Smoltz, Maddox, Glavin. You go back to those Oakland A's days with Zito, Hudson, Mulder at the top of their rotation. I mean, teams that win have that pitching. And as we know, Josh, I mean, as we've gone through this list of top 20 draft picks, the Royals have really stunk at drafting and developing pitching, right? I don't think that's erroneous. I don't think that's a shot. I think that's the truth. The Royals have stunk at developing and drafting starting pitchers for this organization. Go back to 2014 and 15 when they're winning the World Series. Who are the top pitchers? Edison Volquez is on there. Jeremy Guthrie is out there. James Shields is part of that organization. Chris Young was on the mound. All of those guys, Johnny Cueto, all of that pitching, for the most part, was acquired from outside the organization, right? Danny Duffy was locked in a bathroom in the bullpen. I mean, really, Yo was the only guy that was a developed prospect from the pitching standpoint that was part of that 14 and 15 run. The Royals have stunk out loud when it comes to developing pitching. And so now you've got a guy like Cole Reagans, who you know, maybe he's a once in a generation for the Royals type of pitcher. And you got Brady Singer. Those two guys, in my opinion, are so important to lock up and keep here in Kansas City, because if you lose them, you don't have anybody in the back. And we know the acquisition costs of a starting pitcher on the open market. It's akin to trying to get a wide receiver now on the open market. It's so damn expensive.
I mean, the good news is I don't have to do either with either right now.
Right.
But in terms of like prove it, to me, Cole Reagans would be like, I'll wait till the end of the year.
Yeah. And see what happens, right?
See if you're there. See, can you hold up? Can you give it an entire year?
Mm-hmm.
And then, yeah, if you look like you're my rotational rock, okay.
Let's go.
Let's talk.
Mm-hmm.
And then McDuffie, I'm also trying to re-sign McDuffie.
Sure. Oh, yeah.
At the end of his deal, right?
You aren't the only one.
Because I don't think you can be... I mean, they'll probably go out and win it this year, and then you'll be like, oh, see, they don't need LeJarius Sneed either.
Right.
That's how we did with Tyreek Hill. No, you need good wide receivers, and you need good corners.
Yeah.
And sometimes you can't keep them all, but you can keep some.
Mm-hmm.
So like I was saying with the don't be wedded to, they'll never sign a wide receiver. I'm also not going to be wedded to, well, they paired off LeJarius Sneed because they didn't want, they felt like they'd do it without him. Okay, well. There might be different instances where you make a different decision. And
well,
Trent McDuffie to me would be that one.
And also when Trent McDuffie is really going to come due for that payday, what, 2 years from now, right? He's played two seasons and he's got three more really under contract if you exercise that fifth year option, which at this point in time, why wouldn't you? But when Trent McDuffie is due to get paid, Josh, look at the roster. Who's going to be coming off the books at that time? Travis Kelce is going to be coming off the books. He's got 2 years left. Chris Jones is going to be coming off the books with the 3 years left on his contract. There's going to be a lot of money out there to pay somebody.
And I hope he and George earn it.
Right. And Karloftis could be a guy that gets paid as well. So when Jones and Kelce come off the books in a couple of years, now you've got this money. You have to eventually go out and spend on somebody, right? You can't just keep saying, well, Patrick Mahomes will make everybody better. We're not going to spend on people. Eventually you have to identify your next Travis Kelce and your next Chris Jones, whoever that may be. And Trent McDuffie may be the next Travis Kelce, right? He may be that next leader that you're going to build your defense around. He may be your next Chris Jones, but that's up to the organization to identify. I think they've started to identify Trent McDuffie as kind of the next leader, the next wave. And I think when those other contracts start to fall off the books and we've got money now that's available to be spent because you're not paying Chris Jones and you're not paying Travis Kelce anymore, that's where a guy like Trent McDuffie gets paid. Who else gets paid on that side of the football? I don't know. Maybe Nick Bolton you're giving some cash out to. Maybe Felix has come on. You break off some cash for him. Maybe it's George Karloftis. And then you have to start looking at the offensive side as well. Are you going to pay Trey Smith a big boatload of cash? Are you going to invest in maybe you draft a wide receiver in the first round? He takes off, maybe you want to invest in him. So I think in the next couple of years when Kelce and Jones come off the books, it's going to be real interesting to see who the Chiefs choose to pay to get that money to be that next kind of core of this franchise.
Join us on a Thursday night at the Landing in Liberty. Come on out
live
for the 610. That's right. The 610 Sports Radio Draft Party at the Landing in Liberty.
Live from the D.
Brought to you by Hy-Vee, the proud official grocery sponsor of the Kansas City Chiefs. Our entire staff will be on hand. Let's watch the opening round together. Character Concerns will be broadcasting live as well during the entire first round. One person's going to win $610 plus autographed Chiefs merchandise to give away. Just fill out your draft pick sheet, and someone who gets the most right is going to walk away with cash on Thursday night. But coming out, have some fun with us at the Landing in Liberty.
Live from the D.
On Thursday.
That's right. The hope, D, baby. Liberty.
Hope they've adopted it.
Live from the D.
We haven't heard from their Chamber of Commerce yet.
I mean, yeah, we gave them a free promotion.
Right.
Just right there for the taking. Come on up to the D, the Liberty.
Liberty.
Live from the D.
There you go. There you go. We're going to look at this week's power rankings. It is not sport exclusive today.
No, it's not. I found a bunch of cool power rankings yesterday for different things that I think are actually really interesting.
So we'll start first with baseball.
All right.
An early season surprise team surges into the top 10.
Well, we've already been in the top 10. And we're not surging now.
Yeah, that's true. Braves, number one.
Mm-hmm.
Yankees, number two. Orioles, number three. We saw how good the Orioles were. The Guardians are up to number four.
Yeah, they're really good.
That has snuck it. The Royals are off to a nice start, and so is Cleveland. So you got to catch Cleveland a little bit in this list. But to just roll through a power ranking and see the Royals in a top 10
is great.
Is pretty great. Mm-hmm. But they are down two spots this week.
Right.
To number eight.
Yeah, falling two spots to number eight.
So
losing
two or three of the Orioles is nothing to be ashamed of. Even if the list or the first of those losses ended a 9-game home win streak, there's more going on than just a little hot streak. Their four lineup stars, Salvi, Bobby, Vinny, and MJ, have combined for more home runs than six teams have in total. Think about that.
That's great.
The meat of the lineup.
Do the White Sox count on that list?
Yes, they do. Even bad teams will count. So number eight, in this week's MLB.com Power Rankings.
Coming in at number 8, your long distance request and dedication. This goes out to Jessica in Kansas City, whose Royals are red hot. Adele's Royal. Wait, did Adele sing that song?
Lord.
Oh.
Well, what? I knew that. Or no. Lord, or Lordy.
I think it was Adele.
The Chiefs, meanwhile, are atop the Pro Football Focus pre-draft power rankings.
Coming in at number
that
one.
That seems like a lot of criteria. Before the draft and any picks that are made, we have our pre-draft power rankings. But the Chiefs, before the NFL draft, are ranked number one.
Number one.
So we'll take it. 49ers 2, Ravens 3, Cowboys at number 4.
Oh, boy, oh, boy.
Eagles at 5, the Bengals and Bills at 9 and 10, Dolphins ahead of them at number 7.
Did the Cowboys find a quarterback?
Texans at number 6. Oh.
I do like the Texans being at number 6. I was just wondering if Dallas found a quarterback.
Yeah, they're being patient on what to do with him.
Gotcha. Yeah.
I think it's
what. So the answer's no.
That's what it is.
Yeah.
And then USA Today did their NFL uniform power rankings.
Mm-hmm.
We've seen all the new uniforms, especially pop.
Right.
And
I got to be honest, Houston and Denver, meh.
Houston's H helmet sucks.
Yeah, it really does.
It looks like a terrible, like UFL throwaway helmet.
Yeah, it's a bad look.
An XFL helmet that was in the on the shelf.
Like somebody found an old Houston Gamblers helmet
put
or something.
Put an ugly H on the side and slapped it out there. It looks too generic for the NFL.
Well, I don't know.
To an attempt at something.
If you heard the story that was going on yesterday, Ben Maller reported on it today on 610 Sports Radio. And yes, I said he reported on it. He was saying that the owner of the Tennessee Titans was like threatening to sue Houston for using too much of the Houston baby blues. That is the Oilers color, right?
Yeah.
They wanted to incorporate more of that. Here's the deal, Tennessee. You moved. You left. You do not get to keep all the colors and things that went with that franchise in Houston. I understand you're wearing the throwback Oiler jerseys at times, but once you left the city, you kind of left all the colors behind.
I don't know the
opinion.
Legalities of that. There could be legalities that you had to leave certain things in order to leave.
Maybe. I don't know.
So they had the Raiders and Chargers tied for first.
It's hard to argue with those two uniforms. Two of the best in the NFL.
The Steelers third,
yeah.
The Saints fourth.
Mm-hmm. I've never been a huge Saint fan either. Yeah.
The Seahawks number 5. I do like the highlighter.
Yeah, I do
color
too.
Uniform. I do. Yeah. I do. I know they're a little.
Mm-hmm.
The Eagles at number 6. I keep scrolling. Because we're told we don't change because it's
right.
Classic, but this list is not huge on the classics. Even the new Houston Texans uniforms coming at 14 ahead of the Chiefs at number 15.
15, middle of the pack. Read the write-up, please, Josh.
Their classic simple look is increasingly familiar. Just ask the Swifties. And the Arrowhead KC logo is becoming synonymous with excellence and dominance. But a little variety would be nice.
Yes.
The champs. The only team that doesn't employ a third jersey and is stubbornly disinterested in expanding their wardrobe. Pretty accurate.
Yep. Nailed it.
Pretty accurate. Yeah. Yeah.
Nailed it.
So I think that they pretty much nailed that. So yeah. 15.
Yeah.
All right. Today's random power rankings. You can weigh in on yours at 913-586-7610, the Jay Southland Tow Service text line. We've been going through our top 20 draft successes.
Right. Right.
I guess we can then do our power ranking of draft busts.
Yeah, we can. Yeah.
So you can weigh in on yours at 913-586-7610. Cue the music. Number 4 for me, Trezell Jenkins.
That's a good one. Yeah.
First round, 31st pick overall of the Chiefs. Played 9 games.
Mm-hmm.
Not a great hit rate.
Not a great hit rate. No.
9 games.
9.
9 games. Number 3, Colt Griffin. For the Royals.
God, he was going to be so good.
Number
right?
9 pick overall of 2001. I was super excited. He drove a Corvette. Mm-hmm. It said like 100 mph, I think was his license plate.
Right.
He had a personalized plate. Called a couple of games involving him in the minor leagues. Yep. I thought, this guy's going to make it to the Royals. Threw 100 miles an hour.
Not good.
I never made it past Double A.
What is this music we're playing? Is this it's a piano concerto in C?
It's the Masters.
Oh, okay.
It's the Masters.
Listen, I got some music. I was told just find some music, and it's 2 hours of clean covering for study music.
There you go. Number two on biggest draft bus, the Royals drafting Dan Marino. Never played a game.
Never played a game. Yeah.
I mean, that guy never played at all.
Right.
What a bust. And number one for me would be John Baldwin.
Oh.
Even though I saw the catch in practice. That practice catch that made history. John Baldwin didn't really pan out as a first-round draft pick of the Chiefs at wide receiver.
So coming in at number four for me, Asa Lacy. That's a first-round draft pick for a pitcher that has failed miserably. Asa Lacy is a bust coming in at number four. Coming in at number three, Kyle Zimmer, another first-round pitcher that you swung and missed terribly on, right?
Yep.
Terrible picks. That's why this organization has to go out and try to acquire pitching any way they can, because you're drafting Kyle Zimmer and Asa Lacy, and you're striking out in a big way on those. You can't miss on your first-round picks. Which brings me to number two, Bubba Starling, another huge bust for the Kansas City Royals. And number one, I think the biggest draft bust of all time in Kansas City, Slimo, Sylvester Morris. He played one season, 15 games at 46 catches. Yeah.
Jeez. Such promise, too.
Yep.
And he was called Sly. I mean,
Slimo.
Perfect. You could weigh in on your random power ranking of KC draft busts. We'll have that when we come back, and it's officially Veach season out there. Not just the city, but the season.
It's the season.
We'll get to that next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.